the blood of Jesus, and that account is full and overflowing, and I'll never run out of it. That's one account I don't have to stub. Hallelujah. I stub my checking account here on earth, but that one up there I don't have to. It's full of grace. It's full of mercy. It's full of joy and peace with God because I stopped fighting God. God doesn't promise you peace on this earth. That's that warm and funny feeling, funny fuzzy. That's the word I'm trying. Can't get my teeth to work for nothing. It's like me. That warm and fuzzy feeling. He didn't promise you that. He promised you tribulation. Great tribulation. Amen. If you don't believe it, get married. Huh? Watch the tribulation start. This beautiful man that this woman is fell in love with and thinks is so neat because they were dating and going out, and all of a sudden they get married, he moves in, and he's not the same guy anymore. He leaves his socks on the floor and his underwear where we ain't going to talk about. Doesn't put the seat down. I've seen all kinds of stuff. And then that guy looks at that sweet little innocent lady that he dated and thought was so cool. And all of a sudden this weird thing comes out and he says, "Who are you?" Isn't that the way most marriages work? That's because it's based on deception. The whole dating game is based on deception. See that little one right there? She's 16 years old, ain't never had a date, and never will. Amen. She ain't got a boyfriend now and never will. Amen.
Amen.
There's that truth. Her older sisters, well, Kim never had a boyfriend, and she never dated. She's married, got a couple kids. They've been married now for how long, Ann? 10 years. Never had a fight. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine women being married to a man and never having a fight with him? Men, can you imagine being married to a woman and never have to fight with her? Give them a cheer. You know, it's easy. It's easy. You want to know the secret? Serve God. Because if you serve God, you're not serving yourself, huh? And if you're serving God and she's serving God, then you're both going to agree. And it always takes two to fight. See, when my wife used to get an attitude sometimes, it would be so good that the lights would dim. People would walk in my house. "Did you pay your bill?" "Oh, Ann's just in a mood," and leave. And that's about right, Steve. Now, we know the electricity didn't really drop, but it sure felt like it, didn't it? Huh? Isn't that right, Rick?
Amen.
Are you turning red yet, honey? Got to be the light. They're getting brighter. And then finally, I realized one day that all I had to do is say, "Honey, you got an attitude, fix it," and leave. That's all I had to do. And go and pray. And take it away from her.
Amen.
Take it onto myself. Be the priest of my house.
Amen.
And ask God to forgive her and take that away. Amen. You see, but us men are so stupid. We come in there, "What's your problem?"
"What's wrong?"
And you know what it is? It's because we feel guilty. You know? That's why we do it. We feel guilty. What's the matter? What's the matter, hon? Nothing. Well, something's got to be the problem. Man, just get smart. Men, get smart. You're the head of your house because God said so. You don't need her permission. Huh? And if you get yourself lined up with God right, He'll take care of the rest. You don't have to. But see, that's what's wrong in the church today. The church is running around. It's got its authority all screwed up. I found out a thing. That God comes to me when Cheryl messes up. He comes to me. He comes to me if Ann has a problem or Carrie or Kim. Not anymore because they're married. They're off the hook. I'm off the hook now. Praise God. But before they were married, if Carrie did something wrong, God came to me and showed me. Used to make her so mad because I'd just sit there and tell her about it. Kim goes down to Kaya State and let's go do something. She says, no, I ain't going to do it. Why not? Because it's wrong. Besides, my dad will know it. How can you know it? God's a tattletale. Well, that's what it says in Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself as them that must give account. That they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that would be unprofitable unto you. Somebody understanding what I'm saying? The church has got to get it right. It's got to get back in line. Look at Isaiah chapter 3. This is another thing that's wrong. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors. Now, people here in that scripture are men. Sorry, women. That's the scripture. As for my people, God's men, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they that lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the ways of thy path. God has a pathway set up for His people. And it's not just for men, it's for women. But it's got to be done His way. His way. Now you can go out here and these women libbers can say what they want. They can say God's a male chauvinist pig if they want to. So be it. She hated my guts when she first met me. She said, that male chauvinist, so what? What's it to me what she thought? Until God told me I had to marry her, and that was another story. Then it became all kinds of importance. Amen? But we love each other, amen? And we serve God. That's how we do it. I married her to serve God. She married me to serve God. If we're serving God, what's to fight about? What's to argue about? In the church, it should be the same way. The church should be serving God. It should be serving God. In the military, if a general gives an order, the order goes to the colonel takes it down, gives it to the major takes it, gives it to the captain. The captain can either give it to a lieutenant or to a sergeant, and the sergeant says, I ain't going to do it. Forget it, I'm going to the general. Guess what's going to happen to that sergeant? And the captain. Because if that sergeant makes it to the general, the captain is going to order the captain. I mean, the general is going to order the captain shot for letting him get there. There's a line of authority that has to be maintained or else you lose communication with the headquarters. The church has lost communications. Let's go back to Hebrews again. Let's see what it says after that. Says, till we all come in the unity of the faith unto the what? The measure of the stature of or the fullness of Christ. Amen? Unto a perfect man. No, that's, you let me off. Unto a perfect man. There. See, you got me, led me off. You got to watch these students, I'll tell you. So it says, go back now. Till we all come together in the unity of the faith unto a perfect man. Unto the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. We haven't arrived there, church. All you got to do is look out here and see that. You know, we haven't even gotten there in this tent. Even with the guys here, we haven't gotten there. Close, but we haven't gotten there. And you know why? You know why that's good that we haven't gotten there? Because if we had gotten there, it would stink to be you, because we'd be gone. Amen. These things will last until the church becomes perfect. Now look at the next verse. I think it's verse 15. It says, that ye henceforth not be tossed to and fro as children. Or henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Is that what it says? Every wind of doctrine. What's that mean? So there's no Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Church of God of Prophecy, Assembly of God, Nazareth. All of these people have their own doctrines. All of them have truth. Every one of them have some truth. But they all, every one of them, are wrong. I'm not claiming to have all truth. I know all truth. I don't claim to have it all yet. I have the truth. His name is Jesus. And I'm seeking to know all the truth. I don't claim to have it yet, but I do have what He has given me. And what He's given me, I'll be faithful with. You know, you say, people come up and they say, well, look, you know, I don't know enough to go preach. What do you know? Do you know Jesus? Yes. Do you know He died for your sins? Yes. That's all you need to know. Preach what you know. You know what happens is people try to impress people. What's the thing I've been drilling in everybody's head up here in New England now for the last 2 months? Take God serious. That's believe God. Don't take yourself serious. Don't take yourself serious. That's what gets you in trouble. And believe the Word. Believe His Word. That's why when I come in here, I do certain things. I say certain things that the teachers tell you don't do, that the schools tell you don't do. One of the first things they tell you, don't tell anybody you're a sinner. Well, I got news for you. I'm a sinner. Most people, most pastors are scared to death to stand in their church and tell their people that they're a sinner because they're afraid the people will leave and never come. Well, if that's the kind of people they got, maybe they ought to say that and get rid of those people so they can get some real Christians in there. I'm a sinner. And you know what? As long as I'm in this body, as long as I'm in this body, I will continue to be a sinner. Because this body is under the curse. It is sold unto sin. That's what Paul was talking about in Romans chapters 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. That's what he was talking about. He found a law that as long as he wanted to do good, there was sin in him wanting him to do bad. So he came to a final conclusion. He's no longer I that sin, but sin in me that sin. Because he serves Christ with his spirit. When you can learn that and stop taking yourself so serious and let God do His job, then you'll find that you can actually walk with the Lord. That doesn't mean you're not going to have bad days. That doesn't mean you're not going to have attitudes sometimes. I walked in the tent the other night, and you praised God for it. I come in the tent the other night and said, you know, I had a real bad attitude today. And I did that particular day. I had a bad attitude. But you know what? Jesus forgave me. And I asked Him to forgive me, and I said, I'm going in there even with a bad attitude, Lord, and you're going to have to just use what you got. And you know, in 5 minutes, the attitude was gone, and I was feeling great in the Lord.
Amen.
It's called obedience. It's just called being obedient to the Lord. The church has a place with God. But Satan has tried to rob the church from seeing it and recognizing it. Folks, if you're here in this tent, you're here in this tent because God called you to be here. As you can see, we don't have great big crowds trying to tear the tent down to get in here. Because we're not going to stroke you and make you feel good so I can fill those baskets up. That's not why I'm here. If I never get an offering, if I never get any money, so what? I'm not here for the money. It's a good thing, too. If you've seen the offerings, last night was nice. But the whole nine yards is this. It comes down to this. The reason I'm here is to serve God and to please Him. And the reason I'm here is to tell you those things that you need to know if you're going to walk in the power of God. And I don't care how young you are. I don't care if you're as young as this girl here or that one over there or whether you're blonde or brown haired or whatever. And I don't care if you're as elderly as some of you, as old as you are. You're older than I am. But you can still walk in the power of God. You can still walk in the power. I have preached this, and I've actually seen people go back and pray over it and think about it. And my thing is, you know, I could call for an altar call if they come up here to the altar. I'd rather do what Jesus said. Go home, get in your closet, pray to your Father in secret who heareth in secret. You don't have to show me anything. Amen. Move in your closet. Pray to your Father in secret. Tell Him, this is the key. I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth. Remember Daniel? He prayed and fasted 21 days. Gabriel showed up and he said, Daniel, blessed are the Lord. Beloved of the Lord. He said, from the moment you set your heart to know the truth, God said. If you set your heart to know the truth that is in Jesus Christ, God will move heaven and earth to see to it that you know it. And I've preached this message, and I've had people go home to nursing homes and get in their Bible and pray and read and pray for others in the nursing homes who were healed. You can do it. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Believe what? The gospel. Get rid of the weeds that choke you out. Get rid of the cares, the fears, the worries. I'm not good enough. I don't know enough. I've been waiting for that to stop happening with me for 27 years. It still hasn't. I still, after 27 years of preaching, after 27 years of praying for the sick and watching them healed, and I don't mind, I don't mean just little simple things. I've seen arms and legs grow out of people. I've seen eyeballs put into people's heads that didn't have any. I saw God up here in Vermont one time, took a man with a plastic ear and converted it to flesh. I know what God can do. And I still don't feel worthy. Still don't feel worthy. But He is.
Amen.
He is. And the second born, that is the new man that is born again in Christ Jesus, that man is worthy. But this one isn't. And what you've got to learn to do is let the old man die in the desert and stop worrying about him. Cross over that river Jordan by faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, in faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. By faith in Jesus Christ, and you can do all things. And I'm going to tell you, give you an example. This is what, Friday night? Okay, I'm going to know an answer tomorrow. Mike Dill's mother is in the hospital. She's got an intestinal blockage. Doctors don't know what to do about it right now. I do. I do. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against that intestinal blockage in her, and I command it to be loosed and opened up. Heal her right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and glorify yourself that she may know that it's your power that did it. In Jesus' name. Amen. And we'll have the answer tomorrow night, but I know it's already done. Amen. How you feeling, hon? You feeling good? Yeah. Yeah, you. You look fine. Are you his mother? You're a sister? Just friends? You can be friends with him? Isn't that hard? Praise the Lord. How you doing tonight? Good. You too. How about you? How you doing? How's your back? Itchy? Want me to scratch it? Yeah, okay. Get some of it. Y'all love the Lord, say praise God.
Praise God.
I hope I haven't been too hard on you tonight. I know I've said some things that sound strange. I know I've said some things that maybe don't fit with the doctrines that's been taught out here in the churches or that you've been taught. But I want you to go and look in the Word. See, God humbles me every now and then. I got to find that person praying for me to be humbled. Makes me say stupid things sometimes. I want you to know that get in your Word. Get in God's Word. Get you a good Bible. Get you one of them you can mark in. If your Bible, if you can't mark in your Bible, throw that thing away. It ain't no good. Get you one you can mark in. I got a dozen of them. Constantly marking in them. Amen. And let me say one other thing. Get your King James. Don't mess with these international versions and the living and all that. Get your real Bible. God said in His Word He would preserve His Word from generation to generation. Now, He ain't lying. Huh? He's telling the truth. And He ordained the Scriptures called the King James. And it's interesting. Of all the translations, it's the only one written out of the Textus Receptus text. In case you didn't know it, the Textus Receptus is the text that Paul used at Antioch. Those are the scriptures that he used. All these modern translations, the Knox, the Douay, the Revised Standard, the New American Standard, the American Standard, the NIV, the Living, the Word, the New Jerusalem, even the New King James, they all have their basis in the Alexandrian scrolls that came from Egypt. And they're known to be perverted. Get rid of them. Or if you want, just compare. Just compare. You know, if I say one thing and she says something different, common sense tells you we both can't be right. Isn't that right? If there's an animal sitting there and I say, that's a dog, and she says, no, that's a cat, and I say, no, that's a dog, and she says, no, that's a cat, we can either both be wrong. One can be right and the other wrong, but we both can't be right. Is that true? Amen. Well, no, a cat's a cat and a dog is a dog. You see? A cat's a cat and a dog is a dog. Now, if she were my wife, I'd probably give in and say, you're right, it's a cat. And she'd feel good, but then I'd be lying to her, see? My wife, I ain't going to lie to my wife, isn't that right? She's not going to lie to me. Sometimes I wish she would, but she doesn't. But she tells me the truth, and I tell her the truth, and we get along fine. But the truth of the matter is that we both can't be right. If it's a dog, it's a dog. And so it is with the King James Bible, with all these other translations. They all say something different. They can't be all right. one of them is. You've got to figure out which one it is. I believe it's the King James. It's the one that's got the power. Amen. All right. I'm done preaching. The Lord said I was through preaching. So let's sing a song and let somebody else do something for a while. What time is it? Man, that's early. I almost feel like I'm cheating people. Well, that doesn't mean I won't feel like I'm cheating. Does anybody understand? I want to just go back. This is me. This is not the Lord telling me to say this. This is just me wanting to do this. I really do want you to see and understand the fact that you can become the sons of God. And that God's ordained promise to the church is to stand in that place. To fill the gap, to fill that void for Jesus. What a marvelous place to stand. What a great thing. The thing I love about this song is it's just so right on. Jesus is lover of my soul. I don't even know if these people that wrote that song even know what they were saying. It doesn't matter. God did. Jesus is the lover of your soul. Your soul. That's you. That's who you are. Your soul. That's your mind, your intellect, your will. That's who you are. This isn't who you are. It's just the old house that carries you around. He's a lover of your soul, and He died for your soul. He's got a brand new body waiting for you. And I know it's going to look better than this one. Amen. I hope so, anyway. Why do we worry so much about what this thing looks like? Why do we worry so much about what others think about what this thing looks like? Dan back there trying to keep his hair straight. There you go. What's it matter? See, I brought a little joy to you. Make you laugh a little bit. That's all right. God loves it when you laugh. He laughs too. I think He laughs at me more than I'd like to know sometimes. It's all right to be happy. Jesus is the lover of your soul. My God. He takes me out of this miry clay. This miry clay that tries to hold me down and bring doubt and unbelief. Takes me out of it. Sets me up on that rock with Him. So I can walk by faith and not by sight. So I walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. I don't walk by feeling. The Lord taught me that a long time ago. Some of the most powerful healings I've ever seen in my life. Some of the most powerful was when I felt the worst. When I felt the furthest from God. When I felt God was 50 million miles away and didn't want anything to do with me. But in obedience to His Word, I prayed and God moved. God doesn't want people who can only follow Him when they feel like it. He wants people that will follow Him because He says follow Him. I'm going to leave you with one more little bombshell. Bring it down just a little bit. Please. One little bombshell. And you may not like this, but you'll get over it. Some people teach that when you die, you're perfect. That any shortcomings you have are all of a sudden miraculously somehow gone. It's not true. Let me tell you a secret, and this is true. If you were to die right this second, right now, how you are right now is how you will be in heaven. If you can't obey God here and now, what makes you think you're going to do it up there? You're going to have a free will there, just like you do here. And if Lucifer could rebel, so could you. That's why God in Isaiah 66 says that every Sabbath and new moon, He takes everybody by the hole in His health and lets them look down as a remembrance, so they don't make the same mistake. Now, it's true, we won't have a body of sin. Amen. We'll have no temptation to sin. Praise God. But God wants people that will obey Him, that will hear His voice and obey. Hear His voice tonight and obey. And do it tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. Say what it'll cost you. What's it going to cost you? Everything. It'll cost you everything this world has. But God doesn't want you to love this world. He wants you to love the one He's prepared for you. Amen. So sing the song with me. And let Jesus minister. Lord, I pray Your peace and mercy, the peace that comes from not fighting with God.
Yes, Jesus.
The peace that comes through surrender. I pray that for everyone in this tent, Lord. I pray for the families of those that are in this tent. That if those that are in this tent will believe on You, and just learn to just by their will to accept Your word and believe You, it's a choice, that You will save every member of their families.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
I know Your word says You'll do it, and I believe it.
Amen.
You fathers in this tent, if you understood your authority in the Lord, if you really understood your authority in the Lord, your children, their wives, their children, everything rests on what You do. You can actually stand in the gap for them. As Noah stood in the gap for his family, you can stand in the gap for yours. If you have unsaved children, you can believe God, and He'll save them. They may not like what He has to do to get it done, but He'll do it. He will do it. Paul Muller, who came up with me, is a testimony of that. He laid claim to that when I prayed it over in Cornish Flat. He laid claim to it. He went home and found his house empty. Everybody gone. And then he started praising God and said, I'm standing on Your word. I'm not going to let it bother me. And God has been putting it back together right. Sometimes God has to tear a thing apart before He can put it back together right. Because we've messed it up so bad. But He can do it. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Now I am going to shut up. I'm going to turn the mic over here. And Ricky, do cross over the River Jordan. The baskets are up front if you feel led of the Lord to give a donation. The Lord knows our needs and He will take care of them. And if you are part of it, praise God. And if you're not, praise God anyway. Amen. All right, have you got that keyed up yet, son? The sooner you can play it, the sooner I'll shut up.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, folks, I want to let you know that
Saturday night at 7. Tonight's Friday night, right?
Yes.
So Saturday night at 7 is the last night of the revival. Sunday afternoon at 2, we're going to have church. It's fun to have church. Yeah, we've been having these different churches. Fun. So we look forward to anybody is welcome. Come on down and join us for church on Sunday. And I hope that the message that has been delivered here, I know it helps me. I mean, I've heard these things before. A lot of these things are not new to me, but I know, as Peter said one time about, you know, it's good that I put you in remembrance of these things again. It's good that I get these things put back in remembrance again and again and again. And that said, I just say, I hope, folks, as you go, that the Lord will keep this word with you. And if you, like me, struggle sometimes, we do have tapes of the revivals here. We don't have them all together yet. But the revivals that have come before, we have them. And if you're interested, just let us know. All right. Well, God bless. We'll see you tomorrow night.